Swans have ended a 20-year drought.
Hi, this is Dennis Cometti, and you're listening to the Monday Waffle.
Yes, you are. Hello, and welcome to the Monday Waffle podcast for the Round 11 edition. Annabelle, Stuart, you're looking at me with an interesting look on your
Stewie,
face.
I'm always looking at you interested.
That was a really... She had some evil eyes there, didn't she, Chloe?
Yeah, no.
Stare down.
A bit of a glare.
Stare down.
Hello, Chloe Taylor Newman. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
Yeah, good. You're looking at me nicely.
You're really jovial today.
Chloe, staring me down. Far out.
Sorry, anyway. I'll stop.
Okay, good. We're here to do the podcast. Yes. This is the Monday Waffle podcast for the Round 11 edition. As I said, big show ahead. Annabelle's interviewed Tommy Curran from Claremont. How was that?
Yeah, we had a good chat. Had a chat about Ian Richardson's 200th game. How he's sailing into Perth because he's a Victorian.
Tommy Curran.
So he's just moved over. Right, so yeah. We'll listen to that a bit later on.
Yes, we will. But we're here to delve into the matches, and all four Round 11 Waffle matches this last weekend took place on Saturday afternoon. In the end, it saw the Lions, Bulldogs and the Falcons move further clear in the top three positions on the ladder, while the Demons remain right in with a chance of what could be a first finals appearance since 1997. Now, the weekend...
Have they really not been in the finals for that long?
Big drought. That's a big drought,
that
especially for Waffle,
drought.
For
yeah.
a nine-team competition. Mm. So, yeah, not good. Jeez. I wonder what's been going on there. But anyway, round 11 began with the Battle of Leadable Oval as co-tenants Subiaco and East Perth played out a close one, which saw Subiaco, as always, come out victorious. South Freo bounced back from losing two of its past three games with a strong win against the premiers of the past 2 years, Peel Thunder. So their form was definitely patchy this season. The thriller of the day took place at Claremont Oval. And in the end, it was the Falcons, however, who prevailed over the Tigers by a point thanks to Chris Coonan touching what would have been the winning goal on the line. And the final game of the afternoon, because all games were on Saturday, was between the two bottom teams heading into round 11. But Perth again showed they are ready to rise in 2018 with a comfortable 64-point victory over East Freo, who just can't get anything right, it seems. But the round 11 results leave Subi clear on top of the ladder ahead of South Freo and in second and West Perth third. Swan Districts occupy fourth, with East Perth just percentage clear in fifth ahead of Perth and Peel. Claremont and East Freo are languishing in 8th and 9th, respectively. Now, Chloe, you're going to get us started this evening.
I had a look at the Lions versus the Royals game at Leedy Oval last weekend. Lions won 81 points to Royals 63. It was a super close first quarter with both teams scoring two goals apiece, but the Subiaco Lions took it away, scoring a 5-goal lead by the end of the third quarter. East Perth managed to claw back some ground in the fourth, but the Lions won 11-15 to Royals 9-9. Standouts from the game was Deaf's Lions Lachlan Delahunty and Royals Will Maginus, who scored 3 goals each, and Subiaco's Carl Horsley scored 28 disposals. Scored 28 disposals? Maybe just had.
Racked up.
Racked
maybe
up.
Just had
yeah.
them.
He racked them up. The regular names, as always, Carl Horsley in particular, Sandover medal favourite, Annabelle.
Is that right?
Mm. He'll be up there, I think.
Should be.
From what I've gathered this season. Rightio. Thanks, Chloe. So South Freo v Peel was the next game. And they sort of met for the first time since last year's qualifying final, with the Bulldogs aiming to bounce back from a loss to Perth and the Thunder aiming for a third straight win to potentially break into the top five. Despite South Freo losing Mason Shaw to injury in the warm-up, with Ben Saunders, Blaine Johnson and Shane Hockey already missing, the Bulldogs started stronger with the only 4 goals of the opening quarter in a 10-minute burst. Peel never got closer than 21 points from that point on, with South Freo leading by as much as 55 points before winning by 35. Corey DeLolio kicked 4 goals for the Bulldogs, while Sandover medalist Hayden Schloeth was back to his best with 32 possessions, 12 marks, 3 goals. Sam McPherson probably be proud of that one, I think. I just said that. Brandon Donaldson, Brock Higgins and Marlon Pickett kicked 2 goals each as well. Jacob Dragovic also raked up 30 touches for South Freo. Nick Subin, 26, having a good year. Nick Subin, Stephen Edwards, 25, Dylan Main, 23 and Chad Pearson, 21. Ben Howlett worked hard again for the Thunder with 21 touches and 11 tackles. He's a tackle machine,
he
Annabelle.
He is, isn't he?
I say it every week, but he just keeps on delivering double-digit tackles, which I find amazing. with Keegan Power gathering 20 touches, Cam Sutcliffe 19, and Cameron McCarthy 17 touches.
Cam McCarthy
back in the waffle this weekend. Did he kick a goal? He did not kick a goal in the waffle. What a pity.
No.
Is he going to get back in the side this week after Freo's big win?
No, I don't think they'll be changing up much.
No, they wouldn't be, would they? Especially a big win over in Carlton. But anyway, Annabelle.
Yep.
Claremont's game.
Claremont and West Perth.
Tight one it was.
It really was. And they have a history of playing tight games between the two of them.
Well, Claremont can't get away from a tight game
this
season.
I know, they love one, don't they?
That's the only games they play are tight ones, which is good, but they haven't
been winning them. It's all very different if you win. Anyway, the Falcons ended up winning by a single point. The score was 62-61. But as you mentioned, Stewie, the result was nearly very different. Claremont went down by only 2 points at the 28-minute mark of the last quarter when Caden Gilbert marked it inside 50 and could have given Claremont the win in their captain Ian Richardson's 200th. But the fairy tale was not to be, and it was touched on the line by Falcons ruckman. Andrew Strike, he was great up forward for West Perth, again kicking 5 goals from 15 possessions and 10 marks. And Shane Nelson also had a great game with 34 possessions.
Big game.
Caden Gilbert, despite his last quarter miss, he was a standout for Claremont in only his second game. He managed to kick 4 goals from 14 touches and 7 marks. Kane Mitchell and my mate Tommy Curran, they were also influential with 34 and 27 possessions respectively.
Tommy Curran had a big game, 9 tackles as well, which is a pretty good effort.
Yeah, I think he was in the team of the week.
Yeah, he was actually. Rightio. Final game of the round was between Perth and East Freo. And I suppose Perth looked to continue building momentum when hosting the struggling East Freo on Saturday, and the Demons were right on top from the outset. Perth kicked 7-3 in the first quarter and were never really threatened from there despite being just 2 goals up at halftime. The Demons dominated the second half with 11-3 to run out a commanding 64-point winners over the hapless Sharks. I wonder what's going to happen with the Sharks. They're going to have to change their list or do something. They've been terrible this season, which is unfortunate for them. In just his third game of league footy, Michael Bunnell had a stunning game for Perth, kicking 7 from 9 kicks.
Jeez, that is...
efficiency at its absolute best.
Absolutely.
Last year's leading goal kicker, Cody Nignette, also kicked 5 goals. Corey Byrne, 2, and Christian Carey, 2. So a few bags in this game,
yeah,
Annabelle.
There were.
Chloe, you love a bag, don't you, Chloe?
Oh, I love a bag.
A bag of 5 goals or something like that. Brant College compiled 32 possessions for the Demons. Cody Leggett, 31. Corey Yeo, 25. Michael Sinclair at 19. George Hampson kicked 3 goals for East Freo, continuing his great form recently. Jamie McNamara 2 and Cameron Eardley to go with 27 touches. Dion Anthony finished with 30 disposals for the Sharks. Sean Henson 26 and Dylan Winton 19. So, you know, pretty interesting round of football. That leaves, Claremont and East Freo down the bottom. I suppose it's such a small league. Claremont are still only a game out of
finals. I mean, they're not out of contention.
No, they're not. But they just can't win the close ones. So you just wonder whether they're going to be able to
string a few together.
But yes, that's our round of football for round 11, Annabelle.
It absolutely is. What have we got coming up?
So we're going to go to your little interview with Tommy Curran now. So give us a little preamble.
Oh, well, Tommy and I had a chat last week. We had a chat about his move to Perth after his 7 seasons at the Saints, and he was very complimentary of our lovely city. And then we just had a chat about Ian Richardson's game, what he's like as a captain, and then we obviously covered the game that has just been played.
So he left, I suppose we'll find out in an interview, but he left Saints at the end of last season.
Yeah. Okay. So he only moved over 7 months ago.
Rightio, let's get into it.
Tommy, thanks for joining us today on the Monday Waffle. Let's talk more generally to begin with. You've only recently come to Perth after spending quite a few seasons with St Kilda and with Sandringham. How are you finding the West?
Yeah, the West has been great so far. Loving my time. I mean, I'm only 6 or 7 months in at the moment, but obviously the weather is an obvious difference between the East. More generally speaking, I've got my work here, footy here, uni here, so everything's sort of shifted across. And so far I've got no complaints and I've settled in pretty well, I think.
So how did you find St Kilda and Sandringham?
Yeah, I loved my time at the Saints. I spent 6 years there from sort of straight out of school as an 18-year-old. And then, yeah, 6 years later, I spent a season at Sandringham in the VFL. And then, yeah, loved my time there as well. Toward the end there, got a bit sort of injury-riddled the last couple of years. But nevertheless, still, yeah, enjoyed competing when I was able to be out there. But just thought getting a fresh start over in the West, hence the move, might be not a bad option to explore. So obviously I've done that, and yeah, so far no regrets. But yeah, had enjoyed my footy up until that point, but now I'm also enjoying the new challenge with new teammates and new environment.
And how's Claremont as a club?
Oh, I couldn't speak highly enough. They've sort of made the move so easy, probably easier than I thought, to be honest. They're so supportive with everything that I've sort of needed in terms of, you know, with uni or family stuff, and help organise sort of see or travel back home if I need to here and there, and which has been great. So we've got a bye coming up in July, so I'll head back to Melbourne and yeah, see the family again then. And I got Mum coming over this weekend for the game as well, actually, so that'll be a bit, something to look forward to.
Well, that'll be exciting.
Yeah, can't wait. So hopefully we can get a win for her and sing the song. She's only seen one other game this year live, which was round one, which we didn't get the chocolates for.
No, I saw that one.
Yeah, hopefully we can change that this week.
So before we talk about this weekend, let's just backtrack to last weekend. Yep. You guys had a good win over Swan Districts. Tell us about that. You guys haven't had a lot, or you haven't had as much success as you probably wanted this season so far. So that would have been a good win, given that they're above you on the ladder. How was that as a morale booster for the team?
Oh, it was great. I think we, particularly the last month, we're starting to really play the footy that we want to play. When we're reviewing games, we're seeing a lot of evidence as to, you know, what will actually win us games of footy. We just had been struggling to string that together for four quarters. So against Swan Districts, pretty much for 98% of the game, I reckon, we got that done, and that led to the result. So on reflection, looking at the review, there was no surprise that we did get the win, but it was just, I think, a lot of reward for effort over the sort of last month that we've been building for. And you're right, we've been starved of a bit of success, I suppose, on field at the moment so far this year, but I'm hoping we've sort of started to turn a bit of a corner and we can sort of keep that up, because it's a lot more of an enjoyable game when you start to win.
Yeah, I bet. And, you know, that's something that quite a lot of people have said about Claremont over the last little while, is that on paper, you guys are you're a winning team. And it just seems like, you know, over the first part of the season, you haven't been able to string together wins. But hopefully, you know, with a little bit of momentum, you guys are going to start playing the way that everyone thinks you should be playing, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, on paper, we are quite talented, I think. But when you're pulling blokes from all parts of the country, literally together, playing for the first time together, if you look at our midfield group as a specific example, Bolton's been a great player for us for the last couple of years, but I've never played with him, and Kane Mitchell's never played with him as well. So Kane Mitchell missed all of last year, didn't play footy, and he was travelling. I missed all of last year with a foot injury. So now we're starting to get a bit of cohesion back playing together as a united group, and it's only going to help. Hopefully we can keep taking steps forward.
I mean, you touched on Kane Mitchell. He's one of several ex-AFL players that you have in the Claremont team. How does it feel being able to play with all of these ex-AFL players, of which you are one? Do you find that you all play different styles because of your different coaching methods, or do you find that you're quite cohesive?
I reckon our cohesion, as I mentioned, is building, but we do all bring something slightly different to the table, whether that's because of our past experiences at different clubs, or we've had different coaches, or just we're being given different attributes, whether it's speed or height or whatever that is. We all obviously sort of bring something slightly different to the table. So I'm hoping that's sort of quite complementary, and we can sort of start to build and use those strengths to our advantage going forward, which has come a bit more evident over the last month that we spoke about. So hopefully we can sort of keep building on that and sort of make a run at the finals.
So tomorrow you play West Perth at home. Mm-hmm. The Falcons have a better win-loss record at this point in the season. How are you guys going to tackle this on the weekend?
Yeah, well, no different to last week, really. So Swan Districts, we're in a much the same position as West Perth. Yeah, and last week we stuck to our plan going in, and we executed it quite well and got the result. So we'll have a bit of a plan heading into tomorrow, and hopefully we can stick to it for the majority. And I think it's going to be won and lost sort of in the midfield. They got a pretty strong midfield, as do we. So whoever can get on top in that part of the ground, I think we'll go a long way to winning the game. So fingers crossed that's us.
Your captain, Ian Richardson, is playing his 200th game. How have you found him as a captain so far?
like the club in general, I couldn't speak highly enough of Richo. As a player, I think clearly in this state, everyone knows what he's capable of, what he's done for such a long period of time. So I've got the utmost respect for him as a player. But what's even more encouraging is just him as a bloke, him as a person. He's such a kind, genuine bloke, and really welcomed myself, particularly into the club, and just sets the example in terms of work rate and work ethic around the place as well. So yeah, really rapt for him. Can't wait to run out alongside him for his 200th. And he's just, yeah, you can't sort of talk him up enough. As a person, but also as a footballer.
Tom, I think we've kept you long enough. Thank you so much for joining us on the Monday Waffle. It's been a pleasure to chat.
No worries, Annabelle. Thanks for having me.
That was Tommy Curran here on the Monday Waffle podcast. And Annabelle, word on the street is he's a PT at your gym.
He's a PT at my gym. I know.
He's not your PT.
He's not my PT, right. But, you know, do I see him around?
He sees him around. So there we go. Interesting conversation. I wonder what it's like coming over from a different league in Australia. We spoke to Tom Ledger a few weeks back, and he said that the biggest thing for him, because he was playing, was at St Kilda.
What is it about Saints players moving to Perth?
And Nicky Winmar, who also plays for Claremont. So that's three players on Claremont's list that have all spent time at the Saints.
And Tom Lee.
And Tommy Lee, so yeah. It's four. Wow, there you go. Yeah, but he was saying, obviously, in Melbourne or Victoria, the grounds are a lot smaller. And obviously,
oh, is that right?
A bit wetter. So coming over to Perth, you have to run a bit more and a bit hotter. So I suppose the physical demands of the Waffle are a bit better. So Tom Ledger said that he thought that the Waffle like had a level of fitness similar to the AFL.
Well, I mean, we are elite.
We are elite.
We're an elite state.
We are very elite. That was an elite interview.
Yeah, thanks.
No problem.
Thanks, Chewy.
That was Annabelle and that was Tom Curran here on the Monday Waffle. We're going to get into our tipping segment now. And I know Chloe is... Can't wait for this one.
Oh, I can't wait.
Absolutely.
I've got 3 for 3, I reckon.
All right. We'll be back after this.
It's time for the Monday Waffle Tips. Let's get down to business.
Yes, let's get down to business, Chloe. And I know you mean business as always.
As always. I need to go through and see actually if whether I've been right or not.
Yeah, you should.
Pass that. Maybe next week I'll let you guys know.
Yeah,
about
please do.
My success.
We're hanging on it. Chloe, please. All right, so round 12, the action begins. The Royals versus the Tigers at Leadville Oval.
Yeah, no, okay. I know that Royals did have a rough go last weekend against the Lions, but I definitely think they're going to win this one. I just think they're just a better team. I admire them. And then I think Lions definitely beating Swans, and then Falcons over Demons.
There is only three games this weekend.
Mm. So three byes.
Three byes. Interesting. Bit like the AFL, I guess. Mm. Right.
How about you?
I'm going to go East Perth over Claremont. They're going to bounce back. And then at Joondalup Arena, I'm going to go West Perth at home and at Joondalup, and then obviously Subi over Swans. It's pretty easy.
Yeah, and
the tips are sort of tipping themselves, I feel.
And I really wanted to mix it up a little bit, but Stewie, I'm doing the same as you. Mm. East Perth, West Perth, Subi.
Yeah, I can't really. Subi's a given.
I mean, I'd like to think that Claremont could potentially beat East Perth, but it's not at home, and...
Given their record of losing tight ones, I just don't think they're going to get it done.
No.
And then West Perth at home against the Demons, who have struggled, and West Perth are doing well this year. Two more wins under their belt.
And at Joondalup.
And at Joondalup, exactly. Yeah. And they're at home. But anyway, that's the tips. And that's us.
That's us.
For the round 11 edition of the Monday Waffle. Thanks, Chloe. Thanks for being here.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
You have a big smile on your face right now. Thanks, Annabelle.
Thanks, Stewie. Always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. Never a chore, as my mother used to tell me. Sometimes. Anyway. See you, girls.
Thanks for listening to the Monday Waffle, proudly brought to you by the students from ECU Broadcasting.